the glory for it in Jesus' name. So, here we are over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and there came out from the group of the Philistines a champion named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. What does that mean? 9 feet, 9 inches. He wouldn't fit through that door. That's an 8-foot door back there. Okay? He wouldn't fit through the door. He wouldn't even be able to stand up once he came in here, he could stand up, but he couldn't stand up in that area back there. That's how big this guy was, alright? He had a helmet of bronze on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 78 pounds just for the chain mail that he was wearing. Okay? That is a chunk of weight. He had greaves of bronze on his legs. Those things that you see covering your shins, that's called a greave. And they were made of bronze. And a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear, and really this is a mistranslation, it's actually talking about his sword. Okay, the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spears had the sword weighed 600 shekels of iron. That's 15 pounds. Just his sword weighed 15 pounds. To give you an idea, a two-handed long sword weighed 2.5 pounds. And here, this man's sword weighed 15 pounds. All right, is 15 pounds a lot? Well, you could probably hold it out like that for 15, 20 seconds. But if you're going to wield that sword in battle, you're going to get tuckered out in 2 or 3 minutes. If you can jump in and get business done within the first 2 minutes, that sword's for you. If not, you do not want to be carrying that sword. And his shield bearer went out before him. He stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him, and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And what that dismayed means, they were shaking in their boots, in their sandals. All right, so let's get a look at what's happening. The Philistines, which have been the arch nemesis of Israel from the very beginning, they have drawn up in battle, and in these times there were known families that had giants among them. All right? Some people say, well, these were the descendants of the Nephilim, that was the cause of the worldwide flood that killed everybody. Well, if everybody got killed, then they couldn't really be the descendants of the Nephilim, could they? But just genetically, there were people who were tall. And as a matter of fact, several months ago, I had a picture in our bulletin of skeletons that have been excavated in the Babylon area, where the skulls were about this big. And so, yes, there were people that were 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall. These skulls, these skeletons, were actually closer to 12 feet tall. And so, Goliath, we refer to Goliath as the giant, actually compared to some of the taller giants, he was just an itty-bitty giant, okay? But still, 9 feet, 9 inches tall, that's a pretty big guy. And so he comes out, and he is defying not just the Saul, not just the armies, but he said something, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. And he was actually throwing down a challenge, literally, to the people of God. The ranks of Israel, he is referring to the covenant people of God. And he was not just challenging the people, the armies of Saul, he was challenging the God of Israel. You know, Goliath was doing okay until he decided to defy God. And so this is the dynamic that's going on. And he comes out and he is so loud. He is so big. He is so burly that Saul and all the armies that were with him were shaking in their boots. Amen. Now remember, Saul was not a short guy. If you remember, when they went to find Saul to anoint him as king, he was head and shoulders above the rest of the people of Israel. All right? So at that time, you know, 5 feet would be a tall Israelite. And so Saul was probably 6 feet tall. But Goliath was 33% taller than Saul. He just wasn't head and shoulders above Saul. Saul probably came up to his belly button. All right? This guy is big. And as a matter of fact, on the videos that we have in the front, you can see I've got some artist's renditions of the sizes, the difference in sizes of the people when we go through this passage of Scripture, just to give you an idea that this isn't, you know, I think I can take him. You know, that wasn't what was at play here. Most of us guys here, when you remember your elementary and junior high and maybe your senior high years in school, most of us have gotten into, you know, one or two little confrontations. And I remember when I was in the sixth grade, somebody asked me, because I was even kind of a nerd back then, who do you think you can beat up? And I saw this was an opportunity to, you know, either make a statement or confirm their thoughts that I was probably just a little nerd that didn't bother me. And so I picked the biggest kid in our class. And I can take that guy. Well, it didn't take them but about, 15 milliseconds to tell him, hey, Clyde says he can take you. And so after school, you know, there he was waiting for me. And there were an exchange of blows, and fortunately nobody had to go to the hospital. Anyhow, let's continue on with our readings here. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the Philistines. Saul and the Philistines and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper. Okay, so now he's got a little bit more pull in the family. He doesn't have to stay behind and watch the sheep. He can say, hey, I'm the anointed one. You watch the sheep. And he took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. Because back then, your military didn't have somebody who provided the food. It was each family's responsibility. If the country was going forth to war, each family had to provide the food for their family members that were going out to fight. And so this wasn't something that nobody else was doing. Everybody, every family was doing this. And so David was just doing what Jesse told him to do. And he came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for a battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, and he ran to the ranks. Of course, he's a little kid. He wants to see what's going on. Let's get up in the front here and see what's happening. And he greeted his brothers, and he talked with them. As he talked with them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words as before. And so this just wasn't a one-time thing where Goliath was taunting the armies of Israel. He was doing it every so often. Come on! If you can beat me, we'll be your servants. Come on, one-on-one. Oh yeah, that's a real fair fight. Somebody 5 foot tall against somebody who's literally twice their size. All right? And David hears this. Now it's interesting. Everybody's hearing this. And everybody else, just like the disciples in the boat, responded with fear. They saw what was happening in the physical world, and they responded with fear, but not David. All right? David responded out of faith. If you have fear, you're not going to respond in faith. Amen? Because faith overpowers fear. But fear overpowers faith. So David hears it. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear that oath? Did you hear the challenge? He said, let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now David's now just a... When I say teenager, I don't mean a 17, 18, or 19-year-old teenager. I'm talking maybe a 13 or 14-year-old teenager. He's not very big. He's just a little guy. And so, I'll fight this Philistine. And Saul says to him, you're not able to fight against this Philistine. You know, you're just a boy. He's been a warrior from his youth. What is Saul doing? He's looking at the flesh. He's looking at the physical. Look at how big he is, David. Look at how he carries it. Have you ever seen a warrior? You know, it's interesting when we had Mason Road Assembly of God, which is now Family Life Assembly of God, because of my background and whatever, we tended to attract people who were from military and police background. And it was interesting to see the guys, especially the spec op, the special operators, the special forces guys. You know, they didn't go around and say, better watch it, I know karate, I'll get you. They didn't walk around, they just walked around like, you know, everything's cool. Why? Because they know they can kill everybody else there. Alright? They don't have to make a big show of it. And that's how Goliath was. He knew that the Philistines were big and bad, and he was the biggest and the baddest of the Philistines. He didn't have anything to prove. Come on out. Let's get this over with. I've got lunch that's waiting for me. I've got to sit down and enjoy my lunch. Let's not wait around any longer. So Saul is, you know, you're just a boy. He's been a warrior from his youth. So everybody's looking at the physical. Nobody's looking to God. But David said to Paul, your servant, you used to keep sheep for his father. I like that. David said, yeah, I used to have that stinking job looking after those stupid sheep. But I don't anymore. I've got the anointing now. All right, he says, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it, and I struck it down. I rescued the lamb from its mouth, and if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. David said, I'm a bear killer and a lion ripper. I just grab by the jaw and rip them open. That's who I am. Why? Because God is with me. Because I'm walking in the power of God. What's Saul saying?
He's big. He's dangerous. He's been like this all of his life.
He's been in prison twice. You know, all of the, anything bad in the physical, Saul and everybody else out there from Israel is thinking the same thing. We are toast. This guy is just too big and too powerful. Except the one little teenager who's walking by faith. Because David realized he's been put in this situation before. He has responded under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he's been victorious every time. Every time he obeyed the leading of God, and he fulfilled the responsibilities that had been given to him, he didn't care if it was a bear, if it was a lion. He just didn't care. This thing has fallen off my... that's what's going on. Excuse me just a second. Gotta fix this thing. All right, there we go. He didn't care who or what it was. He knew that if God was on his side, whatever the enemy was essentially dead. All right, if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. He just didn't say I'd snatch the lamb out of its jaw and run like I'll get out. But I'd snatch the jaw, and if it turned on me, it was dead. Your servant has killed both lions and bears. Not singular. I don't know where David was leading those sheep, but it seems to be a pretty dangerous place. But because it was so dangerous, think of this. The sheep had the best pasture. The sheep had the best water because nobody else would take their sheep there. It was too dangerous. But David's walking in the anointing of God. David says, I can take my sheep there because those sheep are as safe there as anywhere else because God is with me. Amen? You lock your doors at night? When you go to bed, you lock your doors? Okay, that's a smart thing to do. But David recognized that the dangerous places can also be the most blessed place if you're willing to take it by faith. And so your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. I killed bears, I killed lions, this Philistine is no different. He might be a little bigger than a bear. He might be a little bigger than a lion. But this uncircumcised... What is he saying when he's saying this uncircumcised Philistine? He's saying, this guy isn't under the covenant. Israel has a covenant with God. And that covenant is illustrated by the circumcision of all the men. This is an uncircumcised Philistine. He's not under the covenant. And that's all the difference we need. You have a covenant warrior and a non-covenant warrior. Who's going to win the fight? David's going to win the fight. All right? And since he's going to be, this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like the lion or the bear, since he has defied the armies of the living God. In other words, Saul, you don't recognize it, but this guy just stepped in it big time. He was okay when he was just blowing hot air, but when he challenged the armies, he challenged the armies of God. When you challenge the armies of God, you challenge God. Amen? David recognized that. But because of fear, Saul and the others didn't recognize that. Folks, you need to understand that when the devil comes against you, remember, his job description is simple. Kill, steal, destroy. He doesn't have any good thing that he brings into your life. Amen? He may tempt you with what may be appear to be good things, but the Bible says that the pleasures of sin for a season. You might have fun for a while, but then comes payday. And the wages of sin is death. Amen? And so when the devil picks on you, you need to remind yourself that he has just blasphemed against God. Because you are a child of the King. And how dare someone come against one of God's children? Amen? Amen? And that's why there's that passage in the Scripture. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay. And I've told you of several instances in my life where someone has come against me when I was a child. And my mama, the guy's lucky they didn't deal with my dad. All my mama does is maim, okay? My dad just might have killed him. But when you came against Dale Climie in school or in the neighborhood, and Dale Climie's mama found out about it, there was going to be a reckoning. And it wasn't going to be good. Amen? Don't have the time to retell the stories. Ask somebody if you don't remember, because they're infamous. What my mother has done to people, being that tall. All right? And so David realized at that point Goliath was already dead, because he had defied the God of Israel. Amen? When the devil comes against you, he's defying the God of the universe. And Jesus beat him up once in his own backyard. You know, 3 days when Jesus was dead, one of his assignments was, you descend into hell and you need to whip the devil in front of all of his demons. Put your foot on his head, on his neck, and show the forces of hell who's victorious. And that's one of the things that Jesus did. Amen? And when the devil attacks you, God is saying, oh, perhaps you need a reminder of what happened 2,000 years ago. You up for another whooping, devil? Remember who you are. Amen? And you don't have to seek revenge. God says, revenge belongs to me, and I will repay. I've told you of the time when somebody physically attacked my wife when we were in seminary, and we didn't know what to do about it. Oh, what's going to happen? And personally, I just wanted to go over and beat the guy to death, but that would have put me in prison. And then we heard later, yeah, he'd been out drinking, out on the lake, in the boat, fell out of the boat, and drowned. And as soon as we heard that, I told Terry, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. I didn't have to get a prison record or a criminal record by going and having my revenge. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And that guy is D.E.D. dead. All right? Because why? He has defied the armies of the living God. David said, the Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine. All right? And I want to stop there and let you know something. You go through difficult times. We go through difficult times in this life so that God can show us who is in control. And if we will get self out of the way and say, Abba Daddy, look what's happening down here. But I'm not going to take this revenge for myself. I belong to you, Father, and I'm trusting you to be true to your word, because you say that the revenge belongs to you. And so I'm just going to step back. I'm going to be the obedient servant, and I'm going to let God be God. And when this happens, and we see God step in time after time, giving us the victory, that gives us faith for greater things. And so all that was happening to this little kid, this little shepherd boy, David, when the lion came and snatched a lamb, and David chased that lion down, rescued the lamb, and when the lamb said, well, you're just as good as the lamb, I'll eat you instead. And David said, well, guess who's having who for lunch, and I am not on the menu, and boom, there's a dead lion. And then later on, when the bear attacked, same thing happened. All this was in preparation for this very day. Because God knew back then, there was a Goliath in David's future. And God was getting him ready, building his faith. My friends, each of us have a Goliath in our future. And God is right now getting us ready for that Goliath, whatever it may be. Amen? Remember, Satan comes and he kills, steals, and destroys. And one of those three things is going to happen. He's going to try putting that on us, and God is preparing us for that time. So Saul said to David, Go and may the Lord be with you. And Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped on Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, but he could not because he wasn't used to them. See, here's Saul still trying to do things in the flesh. Well, maybe I don't have the nerve to go out there and fight Goliath, you know, man to man, mano on mano, but David, you do, so here, take my sword and my armor. Bible says that here, David puts the armor on, takes a step, falls flat on his face, and says, this ain't gonna work. Alright? Can't move, can't attack, can't do anything. He was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these. I'm not used to them. So David removed them. David set aside the things of the flesh. Amen? David set aside what everybody else depends on. And like I prayed earlier, okay, God, you know, Terry's got an appointment with the doctor, but we know that her victory, her healing, is in you, Father, not in the doctor. And so David set aside the things of the flesh. Then he took his staff in his hand. Staff is something that you use when you're keeping the sheep. And for this day was nothing other than another day keeping the sheep. I'd have to deal with a lion. I'd have to deal with a bear. I'd have to deal with a giant. All right? And we might sit here and say, oh, what kind of giants do I have to deal with this week? Doesn't make any difference. God is keeping us in practice with the little lions and bears of everyday life, letting us get the victory over them so that when the giants come along, we're ready for them. He took the staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi. A wadi is just a river that dries up. Sometimes in the rainy season, there's water in it. When it's not the rainy season, there's no water in it. He took 5 smooth stones from the wadi, because during the rainy season, there's water in it, and water smooths out the stones. All right? Took 5 stones. People say, why did David take 5 stones? In case he missed? No. Goliath had 4 brothers. David, in faith, is saying, buddy, I'm coming after you and your whole family. Kind of like the mafia. We're coming after you and all your relatives. That was David was saying. I'm coming after you, and should one of your brothers decide to stand up in your place, I'm taking him out, and I'll take the other 3 out if I have to. We had Goliath and 4 brothers. And David says that's going to require 5 stones. Amen? He's not caring. I better grab a whole pocket full of stones, man. I might have to take, I might whatever. I might not hit him in the right spot the first time. He said, no, I've got five people I got to take out for Jesus. I've got five stones. Amen? He put them in his shepherd's bag, in his pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Amen? He's not going to walk away. He's not going to slink away. He's just not going to let there and let trouble come to him. Amen? He is going after trouble. Remember, the Bible says that we are the church of Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And gates are a defensive measure. You hide behind a gate to keep you safe from whoever is attacking. Jesus said that the church has been ordained to attack and overcome the gates of hell. Alright? It's our job to tear those gates down, storm hell, grab sinners, kicking and screaming from the pits of hell and drag them into the kingdom of heaven. That's what the church is supposed to be. Alright? We're too busy hiding from the gates of hell. Alright? Not David. He drew near to the Philistine. Alright? It's kind of like, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Don't be afraid, kitty, kitty, kitty. Like I have to call to my little cat. I have to do the little scaredy cat. And the Philistine came on, and he drew near to David, because that moron didn't know what was waiting for him. He's looking at the flesh. I'm big and bad. This guy is literally half my size. One-third my weight. This is going to be a quick little zip-zap. You're dead, and I get to go back to having lunch. He came and drew near to David with his shield-bearer in front of him. Again, he is depending on the works of the flesh. Oh, Goliath came up. The works of the flesh have seen me victorious before. The works of the flesh are going to see me victorious today. All right? And when the Philistine and Lot looked and he saw David, he disdained him. I like that word, disdain. He was insulted at David's presence. He was insulted. And listen to what he says, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. All right? Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Why? Because David had his sling and his shepherd's staff. All right? And you think about that. I mean, to David, Goliath was nothing more than a mongrel dog that just needed to be smacked over the head with a shepherd's staff to keep him away from the sheep. And Goliath looks down, and what does he see? The biggest thing that David had with him, which was that staff. You're coming against me with a stick? Yeah. And David's thinking, yeah, you'll be thinking stick in just another couple of seconds here, buddy. I've got a stick for you, all right. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, by the Philistine's god. He was calling down, oh, I'm just any bad curse that you could imagine. That's what old Goliath is calling down. Listen, folks, the people of this world will say the most hateful, hurtful things to you. They are empty curses. All of the boasting, all of the cursing of Goliath had no effect on the ultimate outcome. Goliath didn't know. I'm mixing Goliath with David. Go David. Goliath didn't realize that his lifespan was now being measured in seconds. He was still thinking of lunch later that afternoon. He cursed David by his gods. Those are empty curses. That's empty. That's the worst that the world has to. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, you're going to kill me? Good, I get to go to heaven. Oh, you're not going to kill me? Good, I get to tell more people about Jesus. With Paul, it was a win-win situation. Live or die, he's still the victor. Amen. And the Philistine said to David, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field. Oh, yeah, he's talking big. Put this image in your mind, little boy. Your broken body's going to be laying there on the battlefield, and the birds are going to be plucking at your flesh, and the dog's going to be gnawing on your leg bones. Oh, it's going to be a terrible sight. What was David's response? But David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I like that. David was not impressed by anything the giant had to say, nor should you be. When the people around here or out there, they say things, yeah, tell it to the hand. I'm not impressed. It's all empty talk. It's all a waste of time. Because I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Remember? He defied the armies of Israel. He's defying the God of the armies of Israel. When the world defies you, they're defying your God. And God doesn't take that lightly. Amen? And so this very day, I hope you didn't have anything planned for lunch, Goliath, because this very day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will be the one doing the striking. I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the, you talk about the birds of the air and the wild animals of the earth. Oh, they're going to be here all right, Mr. Giant. But it's going to be you and the bodies of your friends that they're going to be feasting on. Here they are trying to invoke fear by giving them this mental picture of the birds eating their flesh. And David is saying, you're right, there's going to be some flesh-eating birds, but it's not what you think. It's going to be you, Goliath, and when I'm done with you, we're coming after your friends. All right? Is that gangster or is that gangster? I tell you what. I'm going to cut off your head. I will give the bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly, those guys behind me that have been shaking in their sandals, shall know that the Lord does not save by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. All right? When I pray, you'll hear me say it time and time again. Not so that we receive the glory, Father God, but so that you receive the glory. I want the world to see that we serve a living God. And just as my friend I talked about several weeks ago, who had his neck broken when the kid jumped in the community pool and they took the x-ray and he had a broken neck. And so they called in an orthopedic specialist and he said, I want to take another picture. And by the time that we heard that our friend had a broken neck and the church went to praying, God heard that prayer and the specialist took the x-rays again and said, oh, look at here. Here's where his neck was broken, but it's all healed. This must have happened years ago. You must remember this, Mr. Gant, because this was a traumatic injury, but it's all healed now. And we are literally laughing in the emergency room. They must have thought we were total lunatics. Why? Because we saw the previous x-rays. And we knew that the only thing that these new x-rays showed was that there's a God in heaven who hears the prayers of his people. and just every once in a while does something that just sets the whole world on its ear. You can try to explain it away, Mr. Doctor, about, oh yes, the medical field was wonderful and was able to treat this, but this was an old injury. No, it's not an old injury. It is an injury where God has been there and made a healing of it. All right? And so that the world will know that the battle is the Lord's. Amen? Everything I say when I'm in areas of this world that aren't safe, I'm saying, Lord, don't let my presence here be out of foolishness, but let my presence here be a sign of how powerful my God is. Amen? And that's what it is. Let God's power be shown, be exemplified in our lives. And He will give you into our hand. And I've often thought about that. He didn't say He will give you into my hand. All right? He said He will give you into our hand. Now, who is the our? Because grammatically, it doesn't indicate who the our is. Is it David and the armies of Israel? Okay? It could be. David is not claiming that he is the reason for this great victory. He's saying God's going to come down, God's going to give the victory, and now, because God has given the victory, me and the armies of Israel are going to go in, and you've been given into our hand. We're going to just take care of business. Or, and what I like to imagine is, David is saying God has given you into our hand because of my obedience. I have become the tool that God will use to bring deliverance to the house of Israel. And I kind of like that one the best. I'm the one that God is using. The only thing I did was be obedient. That's it. I'm just being obedient. That's it. That's the limit of the power that I have. But because I'm obedient, God is able to do the miraculous through me. And He will give you into our hand. When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, so Goliath is just steadily coming up on him. Let's get this over with. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. All right? I remember on my wedding day, you know how the groom's party goes out and waits for the bride to come down? And my best man says, well, I guess it's time for us to go out there. And Pastor Emmett Pope, you know, he's going to lead the groom's party out. And we're going out there. Oh, hoorah. Here we go. I was going out there, but you can see the look on the photographs and my face. I'm saying, what have I done? Well, I obviously did the right thing because God has kept Karen and I together for 53 years, all right? But not so with David. When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly on the battle line to meet the Philistine. David was, let's do this. Let's not waste any more time. The battle is the Lord's. I'm hungry. Let's get this over with so I can eat. All right? I'm just putting that in there. And David put his hand in his back. He's still running towards Goliath. Puts his hand in his back, still running. Puts that bag in the little sling of the shepherd's sling. And he's still running. And on the run, he slings that stone. Boom. Right at the right place. Sinks in and knocks Goliath out cold. Boom. There he is. Unconscious. And the Bible says that David took the sword and took Goliath's head. Alright? And God won the victory. He won it through a teenage boy who wasn't willing to look at the physical, but to look into the spiritual realm. See that this was a spiritual battle. And God is going to win this battle. Folks, we all have our giants waiting for us. We might run into one this afternoon. we will probably run into one or more during this week. That's just how it is. Jesus said, in this world, you will suffer tribulation. But don't let it bother you. Be not concerned. Or be not dismayed. Excuse me, the King James. Be not dismayed. I have overcome the world. Amen? We're going to meet our giants. And we have to make David's choice. He had the same choice. Do I meet this giant by the power of my own flesh? That's a good way to have defeat handed to you on a silver platter. Or am I going to trust in the Lord because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen? And so when you meet your giant this afternoon, or when you meet your giant sometime this week, don't take them on by the power of your intellect. Don't take him on by the power of the flesh. You remind yourself as you pray, Father God, I am your child. And now, as Paul said, we battle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in high places. There is a spiritual motivation behind every giant that you face. Don't get caught up looking at the giant, at the flesh. That was Saul's mistake. Look at the spiritual empowerment behind that giant. That's what David did. And David realized, oh, this is a spiritual conflict, and it's not me that's doing the fighting. It's my God in heaven that's doing the fighting. Amen? Amen? All right, Father God, I thank you.